We're reading from Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. We have here, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul's final address to the church at Rome, the believers at Rome. He says in verse 24, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that it is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." And we turn to our text for this morning, to 1 Peter, Peter's epistle, first epistle, 1 Peter and chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and Merton. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of yourselves. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." I wonder if you remember being a young child and getting ready for an expected visit. An expected visit of relatives and family friends. Do you remember such a time, maybe? But I recall there were times when I was growing up, waiting, excited, and looking out the window, watching every car that drew up, if the visitors had a car. For in those days, there weren't so many cars. So it was quite an event if someone arrived having a car. In those days, we did not have a telephone of any description. So if someone was unable to make it, that was it. You didn't hear for some time. If someone was unable to make it, if someone just didn't turn up for whatever reason, you heard nothing. How things have changed today. How things have changed these days. Communication is just taken for granted. In fact, people don't even communicate properly. Even with all the technology, the supposed changes and things that have made our life better, communications worse perhaps than it ever was. What about when you go to a show at the theatre? There is an anticipation. There is an anticipation in the audience building up to a particular moment until one simple thing happens. What is that simple thing that happens? At any kind of a show, when someone, the audience have gone especially to see someone perform. That simple thing that happens is that the curtain goes up and the stage is now set for them you are expecting to see appear. It's taken away. Like a veil. It's taken away. There are many incidents in life where a cover must be taken off. Something that partially covers, something that we know is there, but we must take it off to fully know, to fully see that which lies within. Where a cover must be taken off in order to fully see the things promised. No one who likes a box of chocolates would leave the lid on and say that that's it. They've got the full anticipation, they've got the full experience of those chocolates within, would they? They know they're there, they can see the picture. But how many people who love to gorge themselves on chocolates would just leave the lid on? The lid must be taken off. These are but futile and weak illustrations in relation to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world and what he would do in redeeming his people from sin's domain, setting them free, unchaining them, redeeming them, setting them free, ransoming them from the very clutches of sin's domain was long foretold. It was long foretold and expected, yes, and waited for. Down the years, the very details were unravelled a bit at a time. As we've just read in Romans 16, the completion of this, the whole of this, is a mystery though. It has been kept secret from before the world began. But it was always there. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ, is not some byproduct of the fall. It's not some second plan of God. It is his purpose from eternity past. It was kept hid. Yet, it was being unravelled bit by bit, and it was being revealed. Down the years, the very details of the promises of God in Christ, which we are told are yes and amen. Yes and amen. They are true and they will be. And let them be. Which had to come to pass when they were yet covered from view for a time. They were yet covered from view for a time. For a season. Galatians 4 tells of why Jesus Christ came into the world when he did. When he did. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. But he also tells these Galatians, in Galatians 4, why he came when he did. So why then? Why did he come? Why did he come to first century Judea? Why did he come to that time when the Romans occupied Judea? When indeed Judea had fallen into disrepute. It was in a terrible state. Why not another year or age in time? Well, in short, it was not the right time. It just was not the right time. It was not the purpose of God. It was not the set time. We make appointments and we break appointments. And we say, can we reset it, reschedule it? God reschedules nothing. He schedules nothing. He purposes everything. And all his purposes are done. It was the appointed time. Jesus himself, throughout his earthly walk, was telling his disciples again and again about an appointed hour. An appointed hour. Why was Jesus not killed when they cast him down the hill in Nazareth? When they rejected him, his own hometown? Why was he not killed when they took up stones to stone him, calling him a blasphemer? This man maketh himself God. His hour had not come. His hour had not come. There was an appointed hour. That one hour only. From the moment that God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, from the moment that God ever made anything, there was an appointed hour. There was an appointed hour. And that appointed hour was seen on that yonder tree. You have heard me say, perhaps in the past, that the statement, and listen carefully, and please get it, that the statement, Christ changed the course of history, is a false statement. For all the history of this world, all the history of this world, all of it, every last moment of it, all the history of this world from its foundation is purposed for the saving of God's elect, chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. That's what the Word of God teaches. That's not what the church teaches, I know, on the whole. But that's what God teaches. That's God's gospel. To redeem them by one sacrifice in one hour. One hour, one special hour. One special time. At the end of the ages. We saw last time how the prophets of God handled the very promises of God, the very promises of God, whether they be in specific prophecies or types and figures, in the law, in words of knowledge they were given. He spoke in divers manners in time past to the fathers. Of this hour, this hour alone. Believing their own message, these men did. Yet not as privileged as you who believe on the Son of God now. Not as privileged. You may have thought, like me, and we've all probably thought sometimes, how great it would have been to have been like Abraham. To have heard God say the things he said to him. It may have been so great to have been like David. To have known the power of God coming against Goliath. To have been used of him to pen those wondrous psalms. It may have been great to have been like Isaiah, who knew himself undone, to see that image, that vision of God in the temple. And all the others, Noah, Enoch, who walked with God. Do you know what? They only knew in part, though. They only knew in part. They grasped the promises and believed them, but they didn't receive fully. To be under the sound of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most blessed thing in the whole universe. And more importantly, to have been given faith to believe it is the best gift you can ever have. Don't long for anything else. Having the complete revelation. That's right. The complete revelation of God. The complete revelation of God. The law is fulfilled in Christ. And all prophecy is fulfilled in Christ. Anyone who calls himself a prophet is a charlatan today. They're a charlatan. And they come from the opposite side. They are of Satan. Get that? Write that in capital letters if you like. He's the end of the law and the prophets. Who can speak who is greater than the Son of God? In these last times, he has spoken by his Son through whom he made the worlds. And to make it even clearer, when he had purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Nobody was permitted to do that in the temple. And the prophets never stopped wondering. Because their prophecies had not been fulfilled yet. Today we see how they, the prophets, and those who were the fathers before, wondered at what time Christ would come. At what time Christ would come and how he would save his people from their sins. We see in this verse 11 again today, of the prophets speaking, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Firstly, Peter says of the prophets, searching what? Searching what? Now this is an interesting statement, searching what? For it can be interpreted, searching what and searching who. And it is indeed better translated, searching who. Searching who in this context. For it speaks indeed of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Searching who. Searching who was this promised one. Those who prophesied before prophesied, they wondered as to who this Christ was. Just who he was. Where was he? They were always looking for him. The anointed of God, the seed of the woman that we read of in the very first promise given to man in Genesis 3 after the fall. The seed of the woman. Who exactly was Christ? Do you know, in these days of false Christs, that indeed the Lord said would come, in these days of false gospels, that is the cry still. Who is Christ? Who is Christ? For there is only one Christ. There is only one Messiah of God. The anointed one. This longing to know who was the Saviour, promised of God. Who was this one, promised of God, was searched for by the ancients, was searched for down the years, continually. Searched for from the time of Adam and all the way to the last prophet, John the Baptist. The last prophet. The last prophet who came, the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. The true prophet of God. Not like prophets supposed today. He's the prophet who said, I must decrease and he must increase. They all looked. They all longed. See the name given to the first son of Eve. Cain. Meaning, I have gotten a man from the Lord. You see, only with partial revelation, Adam and his wife Eve gave a name to their son Cain. And they presumed that he was the seed. The seed was the seed of Eve, directly. Genesis 4:1, I have gotten the man. It is directly translated, the man. They looked for one man, one Messiah, one Saviour. Yet Cain was not the man, of course. So who was the God-man Saviour? Who was he? The seed who would suffer as the promise of God had foretold. My mind has been drawn in the last couple of days, even after I started preparing, even after I finished preparing, I think, to the kids' film, The Lego Movie. And it's with so many things. It's so true, isn't it? This man speaks of a prophecy. And at the end of it, he says to the guy about the prophecy, I lied. Not so with God's prophecy. Not so with God's one prophecy. Of his son. Of his redemption. He cannot lie. All would be fulfilled and all was fulfilled in the God-man. His sufferings, as the promise said, of his sufferings and how he would crush the serpent's head. For this purpose was the Son of God revealed, was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. John sent his disciples, John the Baptist sent his disciples to know indeed whether Jesus was the promised Christ. And thus putting to an end prophecy and type. Whether indeed he was the one who is, as the scriptures say, the end of the law for righteousness. He who was that last man, who was that last man sent from God? John, to bear witness of that true light, John 1. Knowing his time and mission was at its end. Was at its end. Sends to know who Christ is. To point those who followed him to Christ. Mark 11, 2-3 says, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Do you look to him who has come? Do you look to another? Perhaps the one of your own imagination. Two of the disciples who turned and followed Jesus, when we read in John 2 that John the Baptist cried out, behold the Lamb of God. One of them was Andrew. Turned and walked and followed the Saviour. And what did he say to his brother, who is used to record these words? Simon, we have found him. We have found him, of whom the prophets foretold. Could he be? Could he be the Christ? Secondly, when would this be? They were searching what manner of time. The prophets of God scrutinizing the promises given through them. They scrutinized this word. Do you remember we emphasized that last week? That we should scrutinize and dig deep into this word. To find more of the gems of Christ. Scrutinizing the promises given through them. Look to see when. When was the time of Christ's appearing? We live in a crazy religious world where that which calls itself Christian, a lot of it that calls itself Christian, is obsessed with telling you that which it does not know. Obsessed with telling you we've worked out when Christ will come again. Nobody, since the time of Christ's walk on this earth, his sacrifice, his great resurrection from the dead, and his ascension into glory, not even the apostles, not even the angels of God, know the time of Christ's coming. And yet so many fools buy the books and just get entertained by such things. And I would suspect so many of those fools know nothing about the time of his coming. Know nothing about him who has come. And do not follow him who has come. Who is come. We see Job is caused to say, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job 19:25. You could indeed interpret that Job foresaw the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world to redeem his people from their sins, that he would stand on this earth and that he would indeed be lifted up from the earth, but he would also see, he saw and foretold, but didn't know when exactly, but he saw that he will come again. And he will set up his throne and he will judge the nations. Get this clear in case you've misunderstood me. He won't set up his kingdom on earth. There is no such thing. But exactly when his Redeemer would come into the world, he could not tell. David in the Psalms heard the voice of the Redeemer say, the very purpose of the giving of all of this word. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. Sadly, he's not going to hear that. Please stay in your seats. These are important things. In the volume of the book it is written of me, the Redeemer says. Hear me. Hear him. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He is the only one that has kept the law of God. He was the only one who could keep the law of God. He is the only one who could make sinners righteous, holy in God's sight. The Psalms also tell us of Christ's terrible death on the cross. In Psalm 22, the sweet psalmist David is indeed instructed of the Spirit of God beforehand to prophesy these words. They pierced my hands and my feet. What could David know of this? David could not know when this time was. The time of the Romans who carried out this cruel punishment for transgressors was not yet. But he looked to them. He looked and longed after this time. But you know, Daniel was given a vision of weeks which foretold, yes, foretold the very exact time of Christ's coming and his sufferings. The false teachers today will take Daniel and various other prophecies that have all been fulfilled in Christ, and they will tell you that they're talking about his second coming. Poppycock. Garbage, as the Americans say. Apostle Paul would call it dung. They speak of Christ's coming. That's why the angel said to Daniel, let him who reads understand. Let them understand. He was given a vision of weeks which foretold indeed the time of Christ. Some 490 years. Did you know that? 490 years after the command to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, after the captivity in Babylon and Persia. After this, 490 years would the Redeemer appear and put away sin. But who waited for him? Who waited for him? Romans 2 tells us of this, how this blessed nation, the one time that God ever had a nation, but there's no nation of God now. There's no nation of God. The church is the nation of God. He's redeemed out of every nation. But once in history, he had a nation. He had a physical nation for this very purpose, to bring forth his son. But also, they were given a special task, Romans 2 tells us. Committed to them were the very oracles of God, the words of his breath. And you know, in fairness to them, they did meticulously keep them, in the sense of they copied them meticulously, and they were careful to copy them accurately. And we must give them credit for that. For this is the word that we have here translated in our time. Under the sovereign purposes of God, they did this. But yet, the majority of them knew nothing of what they said. They did not wait for the coming Redeemer. But there was a man at the time of Christ's birth and dedication in the temple. God always has his people. Elijah was tempted to think that he was the only one left who worshipped God. And God reminded him, here, I have a remnant. I have a remnant. And God always has a remnant. His people are never the only one. Amidst all the ungodliness, he had his remnant still. And this man was there in the temple when the Lord Jesus was brought to have those things performed upon him according to the law of Moses, who by the spirit of prophecy waited for the fulfillment of the time. Indeed, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, was such as well. But we read of this man in Luke chapter 2. See how this sums up that the prophets looked and waited and were not fulfilled. They were not fulfilled in themselves until they should see such things. Luke chapter 2 and verse 24. Verse 22. And when the days of her purification, this is Mary, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. There was a man whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting. He was waiting for the one who was spoken of by the prophecies. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, and a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. It's just come to me, a great thought, I think, I hope. You ever heard of the Bosphorus? It's not a river, it's not a sea. I don't know what they call it. It's in between the two. It links, it goes between the Mediterranean and the Black Sea. But either side of the Bosphorus are two continents. Asia, the East and beyond, and Europe. And the two meet there. Here was the Lord's Bosphorus. The end of the prophets. He's come. He's come. All has been fulfilled, and we've crossed over to that time when Christ is come, the time of the gospel. The gospel hour is come. God has told us in his word that Christ has finished the work of redemption to make chosen sinners righteous before God. And he says the time is now. It's now. Today is the day of salvation. You don't own tomorrow. Today, now is the appointed time. Is it the appointed time for you? Was it appointed from eternity past? For the time for all God's people, all His elect, those who were redeemed at Calvary, there is an appointed hour for each one when they should come into the sheepfold. Is that appointed hour now? Thirdly, how? We've seen what, who, when, and now we see how. Verse 11 again, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. How should this Christ suffer? Imagine Isaiah the prophet when he was given the promise of Christ coming into the world. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What think you of that, Isaiah? God with us. He understood the name Emmanuel. God with us. Born of a virgin. I wonder what Isaiah thought. How could this be? Although no man can truly grasp or understand, let alone explain, how such a miracle can be, we are blessed in so having, we do have what those of old did not have. We have the complete Word of God. We can see it. We can see it here. Although we understand it not fully, we don't see it, we don't know as we are known yet, but we understand what we need to know. We have the Word. The Word spoken to Mary. When she inquired how all these things could be, how she could conceive a child being a virgin, let alone bring forth of her body the promised Christ, who shall be called the Son of God. But we have the words. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. We don't know exactly the very operation of the Holy Spirit and how these things could be that the Holy Spirit took of the seed of the woman, and indeed that which was conceived and born of her was indeed the Son of God without sin, separate from sinners. But you know what? We know a lot more than Isaiah did. The prophets wondered as to how such prophecies concerning the sufferings of Christ should be fulfilled. How indeed should Christ be cut off, as Daniel is told? Cut off, but not for himself. How is this? How was this? How was he the scapegoat that indeed Moses knew when he was shown and given the law? The scapegoat on that great day of atonement. The scapegoat that was sent off into the wilderness, bearing the sins confessed upon him. And that the blood of the other goat was sprinkled upon the altar. And that Christ is that mercy seat covering sin. And that David knew that indeed blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. But they didn't understand fully. They only knew in part. How was this achieved? How indeed should Christ triumph over the serpent? Over the seed of the serpent, we are told in Genesis 3. To crush his head. Being bruised himself. Being cut off himself. Such wonders have been fully revealed in the gospel. How indeed should Christ be cut off? They're fully revealed in the gospel. The gospel preached to these people that Peter addresses here, and have been revealed to you who believe on the Son of God now. And maybe they have been revealed to you this day. Who would have thought that the promised Christ, Messiah, Son of God, who would have thought that he would achieve his great victory? His great victory over sin, hell and the devil, redeeming his elect ones chosen in him from eternity by what others would consider defeat and shame. Who would have seen this? As Isaiah says in Isaiah 53, who have believed our report? What glory should be seen in the Holy One of God being crucified and made a public spectacle, naked upon a tree? Who saw that? Fully. Yet we are told that it is so. Colossians 2 tells us that this is so. Colossians 2 tells us that this is glorious. Colossians 2 tells us that this is triumphant. Colossians 2 tells us that it is finished. Colossians 2 verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your heart, have he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Those foolish Romans did not nail him to the cross. Have you read that? No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down and to take it again. He nailed it to the cross. Who is sufficient for such things? Nailing it to his cross and having spoiled principalities and powers, nailed to a cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The one who hung there naked, in shame, suffering, spat upon, sworn at. They pulled out the beard, they put the crown of thorns on him, they blasphemed him. Yes. Openly triumphing over his enemies. What wonders these are. How was the prophecy of this Christ being condemned and smitten of God in Isaiah 53? As Isaiah 53 tells us, how was the redemption of God's people, his elect, fulfilled with the sword of God's justice coming upon the innocent Lamb of God? For cursed is everyone who hangeth upon a tree. He was made a curse for his people by God. As a lawbreaker, he was numbered with the transgressors. Zechariah 13:7 cried out, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. God says this. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow. Saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Oh, Zechariah, what did he know? Oh, Zechariah believed, he grasped, he clung to, and he looked into. But see how much blessed you be then, Zechariah. the very mystery of sin imputed to him who knew no sin, who was separate from sinners. That is revealed to us. How the justice of God could be upon the precious Holy Lamb of God. And we must move on quickly. Fourthly, who were such things revealed to? Who were they revealed to fully? Through the report of the apostles. Through the report of the apostles, we're told. That's who. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, not the prophets, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. It's almost too exhausting to think on what wonders there are here. Through the report of the apostles, who not only witnessed Christ's miracles and heard his teaching directly, especially Peter, James and John, of which we've read earlier, who beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They were indeed granted it being given to them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Yet what wonders are set forth in the gospel of God. God has indeed revealed in Christ his gracious purpose to save a people for himself, remnant according to the election of grace, Romans 11. A redeemed race out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. And as we saw already, the fullness of all time was come. When Christ came into the world, born of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, the promised seed of the woman. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Not to the prophets who gazed longingly to know more of what, who, how and when. The promises would be fulfilled. Those who recorded for us as witnesses, as eyewitnesses of Christ and his sufferings, knew the unveiling. The unveiling of what was kept from view from before the world began. And not just them, but you who believe on the Son of God, truly believing the gospel of Christ and him crucified alone, have been made wise unto salvation. So I ask you, have you known such a revelation from God? Maybe you are being brought to anticipate, even as me those years ago, the visit, but this great visit, to anticipate salvation from Christ. Even as Zacchaeus was somehow, he didn't know how, he didn't know why, but he was caused to climb that tree. Because Christ must come to his house that day. Maybe that's why you came today. Maybe why you didn't come last week. Or maybe that's the reason why you came today, even though you didn't want to come today. Moses was given the type that pointed to the work of Christ on the cross. The bronze serpent lifted up in the wilderness. And we are told the fulfillment of what it pointed to. By the Lord Jesus himself. For see what he says to you who are caused to look to him alone. The one sacrifice for sin. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This Jesus Christ foretold by the prophets and now revealed in the gospel. if he come and take the veil away, if he come and take the veil away and bring himself to view to you by faith, will show you this salvation. He said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He doesn't mean each and every one that ever lived, but he means of every nation. This is what he said, signifying what death he should die, we read. And so is he drawing you to himself now? Then believe him. Believe him now. Whoever waits on him will not be disappointed. He is him of whom the word of God says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look, the lookout. Believer, we return to looking out again. We don't know the hour, but please don't fail to look out there. Expect him. Long for him. Want his coming. Live your life in the light of that. Don't build so many things on this earth that take your eye off of that. Don't build your kingdoms on this earth. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming. He's coming. He won't let you down, believer. He's coming. He says now urgently then, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who have declared this from ancient time. Who have declared this from ancient time? Who have told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Saviour. In Christ is seen, God is just and justifier of him who believes. Justice is carried out. And mercy is seen. A just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me. Look unto me then. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God. And there is none else. Nothing. Look in faith to Christ now. And he will come again and receive you to himself. But are you looking only to Christ, the crucified? Only you know that.